All right, we're back here with another layover, just reminiscing about things that Sam and Edward have learned on their first 20 countries that they've been to in this 5410 journey. And it's a long journey, right? Safari in Cuba. And so there's a lot of things. And in this, the last one we just talked about, we talked about do's and don'ts and how, you know, kind of self-righteousness of I do this, so it's good, or I don't do this, and so I'm a good person. I have this righteousness. And you brought up Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And, you know, the other night I was sitting down and talking with a couple of boys that live with Edward, Benny and Henry, and they're hungry right now. Mm-hmm. You know, they're struggling, but they're hungry. Mm-hmm. They're hungry for that righteousness, and you can see it in their eyes, and you can hear them talk about it, that they're starting to get it, that they want that. They want that surrender. They want that. Mm-hmm. And there's something beautiful in the struggle and in the hunger. And I was jealous of them as we were talking because, you know, I feel like I'm not where they're at. You know, they're almost in a better place than I am spiritually because they understand that hunger so well.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it challenged me to be hungry because I'm like, I walked away from that conversation and I felt so filled. And so, you know, being filled, it's that hunger for righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
But the do's and the don'ts, I think a lot of people read that verse and they hear righteousness and they think self-righteousness.
Yeah.
Blessed are those who do good, for they will be filled. I think is how a lot of people view that.
Yeah, I think they're thinking that blessed are you when you hunger to be a righteous person.
Mm-hmm.
But really it's talking about, you said it earlier, it's hungering for a righteousness that you can't produce within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the thing that we don't want to admit. We cannot produce righteousness within ourselves. It has to be bestowed upon us. It has to be given to us. No one is righteous. No one is good. The Bible says that.
Mm-hmm.
No one is righteous. And so it's something that's given to us. That verse, this trip, God is really challenging me on that we should hunger for a righteousness that we cannot buy,
mm-hmm.
that we cannot produce,
mm-hmm.
that we cannot find in this world.
Mm-hmm.
It's a righteousness that comes from the only one who can fill you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God did in Jesus.
Yeah.
He became the righteousness of God, didn't he?
Yeah. So you see, sometimes people, we run with words. And every word has a meaning. Righteousness does not mean you do right things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what people mistake. They think right things. No one can do right things. Only God can do the right thing. The one who marks the boundary mark is God. He's the one who marks the boundary. And the Bible says, cast is he who removes his neighbor's boundary. So by trying to be right by ourselves, first of all, right with who? Righteousness is a state between you and God. It is not between you and other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why we call it self-righteousness. But the righteousness of God is out of the law.
Mm-hmm.
So as we look at righteousness as doing right things, we are talking about being right with God. And the only way you can be right with God is only God making it right with you.
Mm-hmm.
As you were talking, I was thinking of Esther, when the Jews were to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And Esther decided to go to the king. At the time, nobody was to see the king. You know what the king did? The king took his rod, his walking rod, his scepter, and pointed. If the king pointed it at you, you were allowed to come to the king. You could hold the end of that walking staff, that sword. You were given an entrance and audience with the king. So the king stretched it. It was not Esther. Esther surrendered. If I die, I die. But I have to go and see the king. It was the king who allowed Esther to come before him. We are not right before God by what we do, But we are right with God, extending this invitation. Mm-hmm. It is God who invites us. And that is why, you see, even this altar call that we sometimes talk and think, I am now right with God because I've made a prayer, Jesus come into my heart. That, basically, how does Jesus come to you? It means you are the one inviting him.
Like you're in charge.
Yes, like in charge. But if he puts that rod direct to us, says you are allowed, come, put your case, we come to him.
Yeah.
So that is when we come right with God. It is when the king says you are allowed to come. Mm-hmm. It was a time when nobody was allowed to appear before the king. But when the king put a rod towards Esther, Esther was allowed. Mm-hmm. She was in right standing with God. Mm-hmm. Not of anything she did. It was mercy. Mm-hmm. So righteousness is God allowing you to appear before him. He's the one who makes you right. But people think we are right because I didn't do this. So we are seeking at making ourselves right with God. How would you make yourself right with God? That even the best of you is still filthy rags before God.
Sure. Yeah. The Bible says it in Isaiah.
Yes.
Your righteousness is like filthy rags. It's less.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting too. How much confidence really can you have in your flesh? Or in yourself. You know, you can't have mm-hmm. confidence in mm-hmm. yourself. Mm-hmm. But mm. if you can get it, mm-hmm. that we have a righteousness that's not our own.
Yes.
You can have complete confidence in the one who holds all the keys. Mm-hmm. All the keys. Mm-hmm. Everything. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say? You were going to say something earlier.
Well, your illustration that we did yesterday mm-hmm. of... the circles that, mm-hmm. you know, is God and man, mm-hmm. and sin separated us. Mm-hmm. And you were just talking about righteousness in itself is your rightness with God. Mm-hmm. And so thinking that we can do things to be right with God is, you know, is such a silly concept because that's what the whole Bible is about. You know, we were separated by sin, mm-hmm. and there's only one way. Mm-hmm. Back.
Yes.
And that's through Jesus.
Yes.
Like you said, you know, I was also thinking about in Kenya, we're driving and we drive maybe, let's say, 20 minutes, maybe 2 miles down the road, and we get pulled over maybe four times
right.
in that time. I mean, four times in 2 miles probably that we get pulled over. And the Kenyan police officers, they just want to make sure that we have all the right paperwork, mm-hmm. and they also want some money,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But we were telling Edward, because what happens when you get pulled over in Kenya, and same in Uganda, you get pulled over and you step right out of the vehicle right towards the police officer. Mm-hmm. And we were telling Edward, when you're in the States and you get pulled over, the last thing you want to do is jump out of your vehicle.
Right.
You would probably get tased. It would not be a good scene. But you were explaining that the reason you do that in Kenya and Uganda is because it's a sign of respect,
yeah.
to the police officer. Mm-hmm. If you sit in your vehicle and you don't get out, mm-hmm. and you make the police officer come talk to you at your car,
yes.
they're more likely to give you a ticket because you're saying, I'm in charge, you come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what you're saying with baptism and with surrender. Mm-hmm. A lot of people want Jesus, like, okay, Jesus, I'm ready, just you come over to me. It's
yes.
like, mm-hmm. we're not going to mm-hmm. to Jesus
yes.
in surrender and in baptism. Like, this is my life. I'm surrendering it. It's like, mm-hmm. no, Jesus, I'll pray and I'll try to do some good things for you.
And I tell you something. Yeah. Surrender is dead. Mm-hmm. Anybody, like you know, like military, if they conquer place, those who lift their hands, they surrender, which means... it is like I swallow the bullet. I'm killed. Mm-hmm. I have surrendered in your hand. And we surrender to God, which means we have blown it. We don't have any other way. Mm-hmm. So how can we be right again when we really went to the Lord that this is my empty life, this is my messed life, I surrender it to you. So after he has raised you up, how can you now do something to make yourself who was dead, mm. how can you now really live again by making your own righteousness? And I think, like, with that drawing, what was so good, man and God were together.
Mm-hmm.
And then sin separated. And all through the history of man, man has tried to reconcile himself by himself.
Yeah.
By, he did sacrifices. And many people do many good things, many good charitable things, thinking they want to replace their connection with God. I will be right with God if I give more money, which is good. But then, does it make your connection back with God? Sacrifices were done in the Old Testament. It didn't fail. Now the law, many people try to live right by making sure, oh, I'm right with God. And we are not right with God. The reason why? The sacrifices can't help us, the law can't help us living right. The third thing there is the cross. You see, the cross is where Jesus died. The death and burial of Jesus Christ was the only price that could satisfy God. The only thing that could satisfy God was Christ. His death satisfied the payment. Because it was God. He gave God what God demanded. We can't give God what we are not God. We are in his image. So our acts of righteousness, the Bible says they are filthy rags. Why? Because they can't satisfy God. God has to be satisfied by himself.
Yeah, that's why, by the way, people are so confused by baptism because they think baptism is about what we're doing and not about what God has done. So it's really not anything to do with what God, what we have done. It's everything to do with what he has done. And so it's when you take what God has asked you to do, come and die, and you start moving that into what you can do in your flesh or what you do in your flesh, then it really chases God out of the picture. He's not involved. So many people do righteous things thinking that God's involved, but he's really not. I was thinking as you were talking of David's confession in Psalms 51, where he says something interesting. I've always been challenged by this. He says something that doesn't make sense, but it reveals this truth that David was a man after God's own heart. And I've always thought this is why. He says, burnt offerings and sacrifices, O God, you do not require. But a broken and contrite spirit, O God, you will not deny. So David said something that didn't seem to be true. Because God did require burnt offerings and sacrifices. But really what God wanted was the heart of why you do that. You know, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the body, not what you're doing, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God, what God is going to do. This is and what in, people don't get it.
In Matthew 5, I think it starts, maybe verse 1, or is blessed are the poor in spirit, kind of like what Dave was saying. It's like, it's about your heart. It's not...
It's about your heart. He asked you to die. That doesn't mean you're in control. That doesn't mean that, that it's something you're doing. It's something that you are giving up. And you're trusting him for his resurrection. See, Jesus gave up. He gave everything on the cross, trusting that he would resurrect himself. The Bible says that Jesus was the firstborn among the dead. He said, no one takes my life. I lay it down and I will raise it up again. And we've been talking on this, on these journeys, that you can die, you can be buried, but you cannot resurrect yourself. This is where the power is, in the resurrection of the dead, which Jesus is the only one who can resurrect the dead.
You know, as you are talking, I was thinking of what we call the prayer, the altar prayer, where we pray people into the kingdom. It is very wrong. The reason why it is wrong, as you were talking, I was thinking, don't you think that as the people coming, Jesus, that you want to pray to come in their heart, is behind you That is where the cross really is. Mm. So we stop them before they come to Christ. And so they do.
Mm.
What they do, they think makes them right with God. So that is where self-righteousness comes, because I did it. Mm. I did confess. I did pray. Now, you did confess. It was not out of the conviction from your heart. The conviction from your heart would make you do what Jesus did. And Jesus said, die. Mm. And be born again.
Sure.
So you cannot be born again if you didn't die. Now, that prayer, that one which you are doing here, it is good, it is okay. But is it your death?
Mm.
Your death is still ahead. It is where you die with Christ. Mm. This, your prayer, is a confession. Mm. But then you are dead and be born again.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why after we do this, we become self-righteous, because we did it.
Mm.
But baptism is what God does for you. You are born again. It is what he does, but your confession is what you do. So then you stop. The same way Naaman stood in the house of Elijah, the prophet, and he said, I wish you would have come out and laid your hands on me and cured my leprosy. The leprosy was not cured when he was outside. He was calling the man of God to come out. But God was calling him. Even the man of God refused to come out, refused even to invite him in his house, because the only person who could make him new again was God. And that's why he told him, go into the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at how Jordan was dirty. And he said, are there no rivers in our place that I could go and dip? Are they not better than Jordan? So this is why even people get confused, like, oh, did I not do this when I was young? Did I not do? Now, when his servants told him, but man, you can do it, go. So when he did it the first time, he did it, when now with the conviction, he went into the lake, the river, then the Bible says he became white, he became new, his whole flesh. So this is basically what it is. It is, you have to die.
I was thinking about, as you were talking, I was thinking about, even Jesus didn't save himself.
Oh, yes.
Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
They said when he was on the cross, he saved others. Why doesn't he save himself?
Mm-hmm.
So even Jesus refused to save himself. So why would we think that God's plan for us is for us to save ourselves? Stop short of death. Stop short of death and save yourself. Stop short of death and save yourself. Now here, let's follow that line of thinking.
Yes.
If good intentions could save you, then Jesus would have stopped at the altar in the garden and stopped with his prayer, not my will but yours be done. He would have made that decision and mankind would have been saved. No, mankind wasn't saved from their sins until Jesus took their sins by death. And then they weren't even saved from death until he overcame death. So if good intentions could save you at the altar praying prayers, then Jesus would have stayed in the garden. He would have never went to the cross.
That's true.
Because even Jesus didn't save himself. So what would make you think that you could save yourself by your righteousness? If the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords refused to save himself. He became obedient even unto death,
yes,
death on a cross. So you see, we become obedient even unto death. In Romans 6, it says, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we'll certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Because we know that our old self was crucified with him in death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
Amen.
So, you know, it's just, it's so simple. It's so powerful.
Yeah.
It's freeing to know
that
we can't save ourselves, that he will save us. All we have to do is say, yeah, I'm dying. I'm done. I'm going to die. I'll lay my life down. You'll resurrect it.
Yeah.
New life.
Mm-hmm.
New life. Awesome.